You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz for the 21st of November. The offense doesn't travel to Philadelphia, and the Jazz wrap up the trip 1-3. A super fun visit with Ala Aldunabi on the floor. We'll share that with you as well. Look around the really wacky West. It's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. Hope you're having a nice Thanksgiving week. I've got family in town. My dad's peering through the door right now wondering, what the heck? This is what he does every morning? Yes, this is what I do every single morning. I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. We bring you Locked On Jazz each and every day for you, bringing you insight, expertise, analysis, geeky stats, and behind-the-curtain stuff you can't get anywhere else. So thanks very much for tuning in. We're going to do something different today. No, Dad's not going to be on the show. Though Dad would be good. Dad's, the analytical stuff I give you is all his fault. It is. The story, if you don't know it, if you haven't heard the story, 1981, my dad built a stat. There was walks plus hits equals innings pitched, and told me that that was how I should analyze every single one of my pitching performances. That is before WHIP became commonplace, by the way. He was like actually Bill James. He just didn't know it. Anyway, we're going to do something a little different today. Segment two today, I'm going to put in last night's interview on the floor, Facebook Live with Ala Aldunabi. Ron Boone was on TV, so Ala joined me. He was Quinn Snyder's roommate at Duke and is now the 76ers announcer. I tried to edit out the crappy sound quality of our live mic getting too far away from our sensor, whatever you want to call it. So that's coming up for you in the show. I think that's going to be fun. So that'll be segment two. Segment one, we'll recap last night. Segment three, we'll go around the NBA, talk some more about the Jazz. Today's show is brought to you by my good friends over at Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Blake and the crew out over there doing all the great things they're doing for November. It's also brought to you by Grip 6, Black Friday belt time, grip6.com. They've got great deals. They had the big store opening last week, and they've got super things for you this week in the Advocates. In case of times of need for personal injury and car accidents, Advocates have the program and the system for you. All right, let's dig in to today's show and start with our regular game recap of what happened in last night's loss to the Philadelphia 76ers. The Sixers are pretty good, by the way. They're going to be a playoff team. They're beautifully built with Redick running, Covington setting up, Simmons and Embiid. That's a nice, well-built team. Saric leaves a little to be desired, but he's still young. Their bench is only okay, but that's a pretty nice team. Digging into the numbers, Dad, you could take the – sorry, my dad wants to know. You can take the Ionic if you want to. It should be in the car. Take the Hyundai. You'll like it. I should have just done that, and then you could come back and record the Murdoch Hyundai ad for the day. So you could do that. All right. So last night's pace of play was fast. We played about 101 possessions last night. Philadelphia plays really fast, and we kind of played with them at that pace. It was the second fastest pace game we've played all year. Against the Rockets was faster. There's no parallel. Our three games we've gone over, we've had five games over 100 pace of play, 100 possessions. We've been good offensively in three of them and bad in two. So as is the case, usually there's absolutely no correlation between fast pace of play and playing well offensively. And we have had no correlation between fast pace of play and being good or bad defensively. So nothing really there. But interesting to note, the off defensive rating last night came in at about a 101.5, which is 101.2, which is pretty good. In fact, the last two nights, the defense with the new has been good, has been really good, frankly. Last night was better than our league, our average, well below league average. It was our 10th best defensive performance of the year. So as we have suddenly now played six games without Gobert, Our defensive rating was 106, 114, 116, 116, just brutal. Then in Orlando was an 88, and last night was a 101. So some good signs that we're figuring out how to play defensively without Rudy. Much better job covering the three-point line. We had not done a very good job of that in some of those previous games. Did do a good job of that in that matchup and against Orlando. So good to see. Good advancement from a defensive standpoint in the last two games. Trending in the right direction. Might be able to help keep the Jazz in some games going forward. And at some point when your offense is not good, it's just so hard to stay engaged defensively. And I thought really that's what happened last night. And still, for the most part, had a pretty good game. The offense was bad last night. The offense was below 90. And it is, we have now done this five times this year where our offensive rating is below 90. Five times in 18 games. That is just a tough way to live. And the two games, the Clippers and the Sun loss, the loss to the Sixers at home, the loss to the Heat at home, and then the Sixers. The Sixers do some things specifically to us that I'll dig into here in a second that makes it tough on the Jazz. But that's the first time without Gobert that the offense didn't come around for the ride. Just didn't shoot it well. Effective field goal percentage at 41% last night. The turnover issue has been generally quelled. Ricky had six last night. And the offensive rebounding was non-existent last night, 13%. I still think we've got to find a way to offensive rebound. It's hard, though, when you're spread and Jerebko's not a great offensive rebound, Cephalosha's not. I don't really know what I mean by that on how I think we're going to get offensive rebounding. I just think we need to offensive rebound. Last night, we had absolutely no offensive rebounding presence at all in that game. So the Sixers seem to be a bad matchup for the Jazz. Defensively, Philadelphia is the number one defensive team in the league when Joel Embiid is on the floor. And we've only played them once with Embiid, but he still caused, you know, a decent amount of trouble for the Jazz. And what they did is in the first matchup against Utah, they got the Jazz to take more shots in the paint non-restricted area as well as the mid-range too. So then the Jazz had in any other game all year. And they drop back, they go under all the picks. The shoot-around was all about trying to attack the under still, not just settling. I actually thought our guys tried to execute it fairly well. But last night the Jazz took 20 shots in the paint non-restricted area and 19 shots in the mid-range. 39 shots last night that were non-restricted area twos. The season high before that was 38 against the 76ers. First time we played the 76ers, we were 9 of 38. Last night, we were 8 of 39. Brutal. 20%. That's where it fell apart. We then did not make our threes last night to make it even worse. We were 7 of 24 and above the break threes after having three straight games of being brilliant at it. But that's the problem in lot. 39 shots in the paint, non-restricted area of the mid-range. So non-restricted area twos. That's the most we've had all season. We only made eight. They're not high percentage shots, frankly. I mean, if you just look at the league average is about 38%. Our league average is 35%. We're not good at those shots either. So if we're taking, you know, stretch it, call it 38, we did 39 last night, right? So if we're taking 39 shots there and we have a good night, we're only probably making what about 14 of them, right? Yeah, 13.6 is the average. We made eight, so we missed five shots. That's 10 points. That would have helped make that game a little bit closer, since that game really was never that close. But so Philadelphia, that's the book on what teams are trying to do to the Jazz, is you go under everything, you keep them in the mid-range, you hold on the shooters, and then the Jazz struggle. And that's going to be a tough script for us to beat. We've talked about this a lot. I don't mean to beat it, you know, endlessly. We also have low percentage shooters, so that when we're going to have these nights. Like, I don't think it needs to be five nights of 19 where the offense leaves the building. That seems to be high, but I do think it's one out of every eight or so. So it's something we probably have to get.
You can see
last night. We were 7 of 24 and above the break threes, 2 of 4 on corner threes, and I mentioned the other 8 of 39 on those. And that's just not good. That's what determined the game. That's where the offense fell apart last night. And I could try to figure out which players it was and things of that nature, but it's where the offense fell apart. The bummer on the road trip is that AB had a bad trip shooting. I really thought that Alec Burks was right on the edge of, at least I thought, kind of coming through and finding a groove and playing in a solid rhythm. I thought I saw signs of it, was pretty excited, thought he could lessen the burden on Ricky Rubio. We really need to not have Ricky Rubio feel like he has to shoot 14 times a night. And it just didn't happen. I mean, that's a tough trip. He went 1 of 4, 4 of 12, 1 of 10, 1 of 10. He went 0 of 12 from 3. Prior to the trip, like, go back to that homestand, the last three games of the homestand, I'm pretty excited about AB. He's shooting 52%. He's hit a bunch of his threes. He's suddenly scoring 10 points a game in 17 minutes. And I'm thinking, hey, we can take that up to 24, 25 minutes, and he can lessen the burden on these guys, and this is going to be pretty exciting. And that this trip just didn't go his direction. Hopefully, getting back home, he gets back in the rhythm. But that's kind of that off-the-bench scorer that the Jazz need a little bit. I'll elaborate on this. There's a phenomenon going on with low usage players on our roster that's putting an undue burden on some of our other players, and I'll expand on that in just a second. I do want to give a shout out and a happy Thanksgiving to the Murdoch family. They have been obviously very supportive of our program, and we hopefully have been supportive of them. Murdoch Hyundai is where Blake is running the Hyundai dealership, and who I've gotten to know the best. And they have a Hyundai dealership in Logan and Linden and in Murray. They want to thank you in November. They've got $5,000 off the 2017 Hyundai Tucsons. The 2018 Elantras are in already. They're just $14,990 with Hyundai Motor Finance. Remember, there's certain when you're doing Murdoch and you're doing Hyundai, you're combining two things. So the Hyundai is guaranteeing you America's best 10-year, 100,000-mile warranty with Hyundai Assurance. And Hyundai Murdoch is guaranteeing you the no regrets dealer. So that is 5-day exchange policy, price match guarantee, safety inspections for life, car wash for life. I have been blown away by the Hyundai. Just threw my dad out in the Hyundai Ioniq to let him have that experience and see what it's like. It's such a that's their hybrid. It's such a cool car. Also, equally as cool was the Santa Fe, which I blown away by what you get for the value. So I would strongly suggest if you're in the market for a car, put the Hyundai on the list. It might not be a brand. I was talking to, I think I've told this, Alan Horton was with me, radio voice of the Timberwolves, and he was like, gosh, I would never have thought of this. And I wouldn't have either until I got to know these guys. One, the Murdochs, and two, the quality of the Hyundai brand. So check it out. Add it to your list. Go test drive him. Look at himself. Go say hi to Blake and the crew at 4646 South State Street. And Blake says he wants you to say that you're a Locked On Jazz listener so he can come say hi to you. Probably wants to talk jazz with you. The issue that's, before we go to Aldo Nabi, the issue that's happening that I'm seeing on a night in and night out basis on the Jazz right now, and I this is nobody's, it's not a fault here, it's just a fact. So, Jerebko plays 20 minutes, takes 5 shots. Ingles plays 25 minutes, takes 4 shots. Joe's not going to be a good player taking a lot more than that, nor is Jerebko. Like, they're not high usage players. But because they're not high-usage players, someone has to use those possessions. And so then Rodney and Donovan and Ricky Rubio a little bit and Alec Burks a little bit become burdened with a high-usage rate that's not who they are or not where they can, you know, it's just going to make them a little less efficient. It's, you know, Joe's really amped it up. Joe is a 15% usage rate right now where he regularly is 13.6. And I don't think for him to be successful, he should go much further than that. I know a lot of people are talking about he's got to take more shots. That's just not who he is. And I don't think we can manufacture him into something else. Jarebko's usage rate is at 14. Last year it was at 11. The year before in Boston was at 13. His career, I mean, 1 year in Detroit, he's kind of a gunner. He's at 20. Usage rate is percent of the possessions you're using when you're on the floor. Well, if those two guys are both 12 and 13 and they're on the floor together, that's only 20. Like, who's using the other 76% of these possessions? Right? So Rodney has suddenly gone to a 28% usage rate from 23 last year and 21 the year before that. That's crazy. That's a lot to ask. And that starts to eliminate some selectivity because he can get his shot off. Mitchell's at 28%, which is a crazy high number for a rookie. And simultaneously, I'm talking about Rubio all the time as needing to keep his usage rate back down to where he's successful. When he's not a good enough shooter to be at 25% where he is right now. We lose games because of that. The last 2 years, when he had his best offensive win share of his career, he was at 17. That's an enormous jump. He should be at 17, but if he's at 17 and Joe's at 13 and Jarebko's at 14, well, that's 44%. Now you got 56% of your usage that needs to be divided by suddenly Rodney Hood and Donovan Mitchell at a really, really high rate. And that doesn't even count when most guys increase the usage rate, which is when they're on the floor as the one guy without the other two. So that's the one thing that I've got a little I don't actually have an answer. I just kind of I'm noticing it. Like I don't have like, oh, concern. Like it's our reality, and I'm just noticing it. But it's obvious, and it's having an impact. Does that make any sense? All right, Ala Aldunabi is awesome, totally awesome, and joined us on the show. I've had to edit this a little bit because of the sound quality. The guy got too far away from our wireless mic, and so there's a jump or two in there. But I do edit. I take out most of the really bad parts for you, so make sure that you grab that. My dad's gone now, so I can mention one of his Christmas gifts, which is Grip 6. Grip 6 is local Utah company, and they have built these just awesome belts. Their goal is to produce the best belt ever, and they've absolutely done it. No holes, no belt flap hanging out, low profile, ultra lightweight. Buckles and straps are interchangeable, so you can customize it. So you get the brown belt and then a bunch of different buckles. You can get the black belt with a bunch of different started as a local Kickstarter company, and now they have turned into a absolute bona fide belt company. People are grabbing them, and Locked On Jazz listeners are loving them. That is the coolest thing. I'm getting so many comments, so much so I was about to email Keenan over there and be like, are you having your employees send me this? Like, the response is amazing. So check it out, grip6.com. They just finished their Utah appreciation sale, which was going on through November 17th. So now go back to going online. Promo code is LOCK20, and you get 20% off all of your Grip6 purchases. LOCK20 is your promo code. Really cool company. Have enjoyed. I've got two of them, and I'm ordering more and getting some for my dad for Christmas and other people. Grip6.com. Here's Ala Aldunabi.
Welcome to On the Floor. I'm David Locke along with Ron Boone. You've gotten so good looking. You're so much better looking than you used to be. You got taller. Ala Aldunabi does the TV for the 76ers. Ron's all the way up there doing things like that. He's doing TV today. Ala actually has great insight because this crazy kid from Mercer Island.
That's right. That's right.
Came to Duke.
My guy.
Quinn Snyder, and you went to college with him.
For 3 years. He was there from my visit. The first time I ever stepped foot on campus, I stayed with Quinn. And then all of a sudden decided to go, and then for 3 years he was my point guard. More importantly, he was my big brother. That was real, and he still is to this day. You can see the relationship where it's one of the few people when he... I shut up, and I very rarely shut up. But when Quinn's around, it's actually worth listening to. He's just always been a good guy.
He's incredible. His brain's incredible, wasn't
it? Oh, absolutely. Way ahead of other people. And when you compare him, the thing I liked about him was he had an even keel. He was so much, much more mature than his dumb 19-year-old was. I clung to a lot of that. I learned an awful lot from Q.
In retrospect, why do you think that is?
I think his mom and dad. And I think Quinn's always been an old soul, too. I think when you have a big brain like that, you automatically see the world differently. Quinn's always been an analytical, thoughtful guy, as opposed to some of us who just kind of trudge through life. Quinn kind of looks back on things, and I think it suits him well. It serves him well. And being around him, I was lucky enough to be fortunate enough to get some of it off of him.
Are you surprised he's coaching?
No, not at all. He's always been a leader. He led me. And the thing is, when he was our point guard, leader out on the floor, too, and an extension of Coach K. We won the 1988 championship ACC tournament. We don't win it with Quinn. I still remember Quinn diving on the floor for loose ball, basically willing that championship to go our way. That was in Greensboro. Quinn will remember that. But he was a leader from day one.
The one I think is the most interesting story about him is he's at Indiana in training camp, and his thought is he's going to make the team. But I think he's never quite said this, but he's not a 15th guy.
No.
And so he walks into Versace's office and says, yeah, I don't think this is for me.
Quinn never settles. That's the thing, is he would have to have settled to been the 15th guy. Quinn, there's so much more to Quinn than that. And he'll look at it like this. If this isn't the road I'm going to succeed at, I've got so many more options because of my brain, because of his Duke connections, but more importantly, because of his work ethic. Quinn's a bulldog. When he wants something, he'll go after. You know that.
Did he sleep then?
No. And it rubs off on me. I didn't sleep either.
Oh, my gosh. He doesn't sleep at all.
You guys are so lucky to have him there.
You see what you would call his brain and how we play?
Oh, absolutely. And I think the thinking out there. Here, that's why when we were doing the tunnel pregame interview, I asked him about Rodney. Because I know he's talking to Rodney, and he wants more out of Rodney. Glimpses of it. That relationship, that dynamic, to see what Rodney's done and to know about Quinn's role in that, I think it's very interesting to see.
So we can talk about that on the air, too, because it's some interesting things.
Cool.
But what I think is the most interesting thing watching him going to practice every day is all of a sudden he'll be on someone. And he'll be like, oh, and you'll think about it like, oh, he needs him. Like, he understands. So Jerebko was playing really very poorly for
right.
us. When Rudy A game, Tabo Cephalosha started.
Right.
The minute Rudy was out 4 weeks, Jonas Jerebko started. Because we can't survive the month
right.
without Jerebko.
Right. Right.
So he shows him the confidence, gets him going. You can tell the guy he thinks is the key to the matchup, how he deals with shoot around.
I think he learned that too. Coach King. Great man manager. He knows if you're the guy who needs to be stroked or the guy that needs to be stepped on. Quinn, I think, may have gotten that from him. Listen, he spent a lot of years at Coach K's side. I think through either osmosis, through just being around him, a lot of that rubbed off on him. Quinn is a sponge.
On everything.
On everything. Yeah, no, he's a well. That's one of the things I loved about him was when you talked to Q, he wasn't a dumb jock. He talked to you about world affairs. You know, if you didn't see him in the summer and you'd come back, he was in Italy all summer and he picked up Italian. Those are the kind of things that you got better.
Who gets a JD and an MBA while they're being a grad assistant?
And not use them.
I'll borrow. Can I borrow them?
Instead of buying a painting, he wants degrees on his wall.
Can I borrow?
Think about that. Oh, and at Duke, too. Where the pace is easy
right,
and slow. Yeah.
While working for Krzyzewski.
While working for Krzyzewski.
Right. All right. Got to get to work. We don't know on Embiid yet, I don't think.
I guess he's right there. I believe when I see it, but Joel said he's playing.
Right. He's actually right over there. Gavin, you can step through us. Come and keep the camera up. We're still on. Walk through. Don't drop the camera. What are you seeing out of these guys?
Well, Brett Brown will tell. I see, David, they haven't even scratched the surface yet. They're still learning about themselves, about the league, both of them. I mean, when you think about Joel, he hasn't played 82 games yet. So this is his rookie year, too. And to be learning and playing off of it's unbelievable. And the athleticism. I could play now.
Why?
Why the athleticism? Yeah. Why the skill set?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I'm grateful. Here's why. Because as a former big guy, in the way the game is played now. Threes, we're running and gunning. That post up back to the basket guy like Utah's Karl Malone, I have a hard time playing right now. You know what I mean?
He'd figure something else out.
He'd have to figure something else out. Look at the way the game's played now, and then compare the six. All big guys want to be guards, man. All big guys.
And all big guys. It's actually the big guys have won.
That's what I'm saying. They have. My coaches used to insist I get in there. Now they let them roam out here.
Interesting. It's really interesting.
I was born
it's
too
good.
Early.
It's good for the game.
It is good for the game.
I mean,
it's fun.
Well, I mean, I was, you try to rank the top 10, 15, 20 players in the game right now.
Right.
And then try to rank who you think they're going to be in 3 years. And, like, your list
could
be totally different.
Well, because someone could come in the league and crush right off the bat.
Well, the rookie class this year.
It's remarkable. I don't comprehend how a guy could come in new and play that well.
No, do you?
I don't comprehend it.
So I was with Nick Collison, who's not Ben Simmons, and he's not Joel Embiid.
But he's Nick Collison.
And he's not Blake Griffin.
Right.
But I was with him the year he had double shoulder surgery and sat out, and he thinks that that's why he had a 12-year career.
Right. Because
he watched. And he got to red. Right?
Like the whole league
is going to redshirt him.
Right. Right, that's what it is, basically. Pay him $3
million. Wow, he is just mammoth.
Just shoots threes. It's remarkable. He's enormous, man. He's 7'2", all of that. And he's all 275, and he handles like a guard and shoots like a three-point shooter.
What's he like as a person?
His demeanor is playful, which is great. You know, the other night.
Uh-oh, it's another Duke reunion.
Everywhere.
The reason why I went to Duke because of this guy.
Don't blame me.
Love this
guy. Wait a sec. We gave him all of...
Yeah,
and
he was on my visit.
Antonio?
Exactly. And we all still came.
Yeah, I know, right? Isn't that crazy?
Well, the money was good.
I love you too, man.
The money. Oh, stop.
The money. He's great, isn't he?
About best.
He's great.
Great guy. Everybody's best friend.
That's cool, man. That's cool.
And you know his dad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what his dad did? He marched in Selma.
Oh, yeah, no. His dad, because he's from Alabama.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like, every time I see his dad, I'm like, you're a national hero.
He's a hero.
Like, you're a national
right.
hero.
I know, got beat up.
Can we all do this right now, please? Can we all please go
right.
down?
Let's like, pause. Right,
right yeah, let's. Like, actually, I was listening to another, we're now way off, we're in the Duke realm.
That was a Pettis Bridge.
No,
right?
I was listening to an incredible thing. Oh, it was a Jake Tapper interview, CNN guy,
right.
who's writing a book about the 50s. He's like, we've been here before. We've had McCarthyism, and certain people stood up, and we've had this before.
It's
and
true.
Now the question is,
the world is going crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, right? Like, it's, anyway.
Hey, do I have your phone number?
I'll give it to you in a second, because I don't want to give it to you live on Facebook. Okay. All right, that wraps up on the floor. Al Aldanabi in for Ron Boone. He's awesome. He's great. If you have League Bass, you should watch him and Mark. They're the best. See ya.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it? I thought that was worth it. Really like Aldanabi. If we have great on-the-floor segments, we'll do that. We do that an hour before every game on Facebook Live, on Utah Jazz Facebook. So if you want to join us, that'd be great. Today's show is brought to you in part by The Advocates. Really cool company. Matt is the lead lawyer over at The Advocates. They're a Utah company. They are a personal injury attorney, predominantly in the case of car accidents. What do they do differently than everyone else you've heard of? Well, in 25 years, they've built a 106-step process to make sure that they get you better results. Get me good results. Make sure nothing bad happens to me. Treat me well. That's what they've heard from all their customers. So what they have done is they have built a step-by-step process by which they can make sure they do that. You get a call from a lawyer within 60 seconds. You have an attorney who's set to your case the whole time, works with you, puts it into their step system, and then experts in the field of each little one of those tasks takes care of them, allows the lawyer to spend more time communicating with you, allows the best people to do what they're best at, and basically, if you look at it, accidents are different, but the process is the same. By having a process like their 105-step process, they're efficient. Efficiency means productivity. Efficiency means better communications, expediting the process, and better results for you. That's what separates The Advocates. 801-355-5550. That's 801-355-5550. The Advocates. All right, I want to run through some things on the NBA before we wrap this whole baby up. Busy show. I thought you'd think all it was fun. That was some good stuff. Apologize for some of the listener or not the the sound quality. The one thing that's kind of a bummer right now, I think, for Jazz fans, at least for me, is the West is not what we thought it was going to be at all. The East is actually winning more games against the West right now. The East has won 53% of the games against Western Conference teams. A bunch of teams are not playing well, right? So New Orleans, who might be whatever they are, they're 9-8 after beating the Thunder. Memphis, who started well, has lost 5 in a row. Mike Conley's out. Thunder are not putting it together. They're 7-9. The Clippers have lost 9 straight. If we don't have the Gobert injury, you feel like we're back. We're still in this thing. The problem for us is we've got this brutal schedule that starts. I don't know when you want to say it. It could start November 28th. Then we get a little bit of a respite, but not much. I mean, listen to the game starting November. Denver at home. Clippers, who at L.A., hopefully they're not right yet. New Orleans at home. Washington at home was good. At OKC, home against Houston, at Milwaukee, Chicago's not good. Then the murderer's row. Okay, that's like the precursor. At Boston, at Cleveland, at Houston, at OKC. Do we win any of those? I'm not sure we won any of those games when the year started before we knew how much our offensive struggles were going to be and without Rudy Gobert. Now, Rudy could start to come back somewhere in here. Then we have San Antonio at home, Oklahoma City at home, at Denver, at Golden State, home against Cleveland, home against New Orleans, at Denver, at Miami, at Washington, at Charlotte. Wow. From December 15th, if you count OKC as an above 500 team, which they're not, but I'm counting them that way, till we play Miami on January 7th, we play only above 500 teams. That is brutal. So the schedule just feels as though we've missed our window to make inroads. And frankly, we've lost 8 of 10, so it seems weird to be talking about us moving the other direction. But it certainly feels that way. I guess my point is that no one's running away. You know, I keep looking at the standings thinking, all right, we're still in this thing. Like, Phoenix is 7-11. And I look at Phoenix, they're not that good. But, you know, we're 7-11 too, so we are, and we're without Gobert. And we've had 5 offensive games that are just tough to handle. And though you're not going to win those games, that's the struggle. But it does. Portland's kind of hovering around all right. Minnesota lost 2 in a row. They probably shouldn't have lost. And Denver's got the Millsap wrist injury, but they beat Sacramento, who's awful. I think you hear me. I think you feel me, actually. I think you're with me on this, that it just seems as though we should have it's there for the taking, that there's this possibility. So that's I guess what I'm trying to say, as you look around the West and see that. All right, that wraps us up. That is today's show. Locked On Jazz. We'll be back with you tomorrow getting ready for the Chicago Bulls. Hope you're doing great. Thanks very much for tuning in. Grip6.com, promo code LOCK20. I think that's right. I hope that's right. I'm now nervous. Did I say that right? I think that's right. I'm pretty certain that's right. Now I'm all nervous about it. Oh, that's right. I'm certain that's right. LOCK20, LOCKE 20. So do that over at Grip 6. Stop by Murdoch Hyundai at 4646 South State Street. Hope you're having a great Thanksgiving week. Talk to you tomorrow.